And this is Beefcake back here again, and I'm just going to jump right on in. My throat's a little bit gunky today. Just the weather changing where I live, it happens. So I might clear my throat a couple times, and I might have to edit that out. And so if there are some odd pauses, or it seems like I trailed off into something and then it never quite got back to it, I might have edited out something where I was clearing my throat or sounding really cruddy and just not enjoyable to listen to. So if it's a little patchy, well, you're a smart enough group to be able to deal with that. So something happened on a message board recently, and a lot of things happen on them. And of course, I don't always respond directly to questions that I'm asked by anti-whites. I won't do that because we need to keep it on the subject of the mantra. Usually we'll just flip the script and say, you wouldn't ask this to an Asian man if every single Asian country were being flooded by non-Asians and they were being force integrated, force assimilated, having conditions forced on them that would lead to a future where their people no longer exist, that would erase them from the history of the world, not giving them any choice anywhere and chasing down every single last one of them that would dare speak up about this and calling them names for it while vilifying them and ultimately telling them their own people don't even exist while you're trying to erase them from the world. Would you ask them the same thing? And that was how I responded to a question where an anti-white was essentially asking me, what matters more to me? Because they always want to know you, I, me. They all I want to focus on the individual speaking, whether it's themselves or whether it's you. They more than anything want to avoid addressing the point that you brought up. So they really want to make it a personal situation. That's how they function, because they're really, really bad at addressing the point, and you can't address a point that's plainly obvious. There's no way you can get people to ignore what they just saw in that window to the truth. So they have to try turning it personal. They have to talk about the person making the point, and they want to ask you questions that are supposed to be loaded questions or sometimes philosophical questions or something like that that have nothing to do with the point of what's happening down here on Earth right now. And that's how I would respond to that in something with an anti-white. But I sometimes like to think about these things they ask and see, where does this mentality come from? Why are they asking these particular questions? You know, what part of the programming does this? It's intriguing to me. I mean, I'm still going to handle it the same way, but the thing is, they repeat these things like they're their own ideas. You know, and we know it comes from all this programming and conditioning, but to me, it's just amazing that they can't see it. And so I might talk about it in this podcast, but it's not something that I would suggest going into elaborate detail about on a thread, because what we want in front of that audience is the meme, the minimum unit of meaning of white genocide, to keep getting brought up over and over again. If the anti-whites want to come in there and debate whether it's real or really happening or whites deserve it or whatever, we're still talking about white genocide and the concept is still moving around out there. That's what we do when we're out there spreading the mantra. However, I will now take this moment to ponder out loud a little bit about this question I was asked. It says, what matters to you more, the fact that we're all human or the color of somebody's skin? Now, essentially, there are so many assumptions being made in these questions, it's not even funny. It's loaded with a lot of things. One, it's again, they are in the question, they are deliberately stating that skin color is all that race is. And we know that to be absolutely untrue. There's much more to race than just skin color. And second of all, what matters more, the fact that we're all human. Essentially, they're trying to state with their question, a loaded question that's implying that you don't have empathy for any human group that isn't of your race. That I, as Beefcake, would not happen to have any empathy towards black people at all, since I clearly care about white people and I do see race as more than just a skin color. And they want you to qualify, or not qualify, quantify these two questions. They want it quantified as to what in your moral hierarchy matters more, even though they're both two completely absurd concepts. Really, saying that they're absolutely absurd concepts. Essentially, they're saying that you are either caring more about the color of someone's skin or not caring them about them as a person or a human being, that you would lack empathy for somebody who's not of your race. Absolutely absurd. In reality, you can have empathy for people who aren't white. Absolutely. You know, if someone can say that they happen to be a nationalist for all people, not just a white nationalist, but just a universal nationalist, not universalism, but a universal national, saying they believe that people that are ancestrally Swedish in Sweden should have every right to have Sweden as a national homeland for Swedish people, and the same for people in Norway, and the same for Finns, and the same for African tribes in African countries. Or that they can have their own individual countries, and they can keep them homogenous racially of the people that are ancestrally of that place. They could have their own individual countries and their own individual self-determination. That Asian countries have every right to maintain their Asianness as an Asian country and to have individual Asian countries. We don't need all these gigantic countries constantly vying for massive superpower status in the world. You can have a bunch of smaller countries that can occasionally work together for mutual interest, but at the same time, the individual people have their specific areas they live in, and you have a greater cohesiveness to the people that are more homogeneous there. Now, however, nobody is trying to destroy that in all black or all Asian countries. And of course, the situation where an entire race of people are not allowed anywhere exclusive for the preservation of their own people. They're not allowed to have any all-white countries or any all-white nations within the formerly all-white countries. I just gave it away. I'm talking about white people. Okay, and obviously, I'm going to be more vocal about something happening to my people, to white people, because I'm white. Obviously, I will care more about my own people than another group of people. However, if someone is doing something terrible to an African country, I can certainly. I could speak up about that, I suppose, but at the same time, I can't do that when I'm too busy talking about the genocide of my own people that's ongoing right now. Okay, we have to prioritize things. And as a priority, I will prioritize the future of my own race over that of another race, but that doesn't mean it has to step on that other race in order to do so either. It means that if my people are facing a problem in all of the countries that were historically a majority population of my people, then I'm going to be more concerned with their future. And if something is happening to black people in black countries, it would be honestly, it would be degrading for me to act like I need to come in and save them from something that they're facing. The only time where it would be, you know, where intervening with another racial group would even be in any way morally acceptable as if it's your own group messing with them. You know, if there are white people who happen to be feeding the bears, white people are probably going to be required to stop those other white people from feeding the bears. If white people are stoking conflict between other racial groups with another racial group, you know, if there are white people stoking conflict between Asians and blacks, well, the reality is that if it's something that is that is white people are doing, it almost inevitably would require white people to do anything about it. We are kind of good at making things happen on this planet, and so as a result, we might have the responsibility of policing each other. And really, dealing with the anti-whites, it does come down to policing each other in a certain way, or at least, you know, when I say policing, I don't actually mean arresting, clearly. I mean actually speaking up about it if somebody white is doing something wrong. You know, we definitely do see race when it comes to the fact that white people want conflict with other white people. It's just it's the way it is. White people love to compete against other whites, and conflict tends to happen against other whites. They tend to give non-whites a free pass. They can say race doesn't matter to them. That's a bunch of BS. They just say have no loyalty to whites. Nobody says to a black guy, what matters more, the color of your skin or the fact we're all human, if it's a black guy speaking up for black interest. That would just sound silly. Yet, as white people, we have such a tendency to believe the worst of other whites that the first thing that someone anti-white will jump out with is that you know, to imply that you must somehow lack all empathy for other humans as humans. No, you can have all the empathy you want. You can see all humans as humans. That doesn't mean we're exactly the same. And it doesn't mean that there's something bad about you as a person if you want to see those differences and those unique peoples preserved as unique peoples. And that includes my people, white people. I'll speak up on behalf of white people being denied this right before I will speak up on the behalf of anyone else being denied this right. And by the time white people are speaking up about anyone else being denied this right that isn't a white group, well, to get to that point, we would probably need to have the future of our own people secured, wouldn't we? You know, if white people are facing white genocide, that's not really the opportune moment to try stepping in and saying, look, everybody else needs a home too, especially considering that nobody is trying to change the homes of anyone else, at least not in all the countries they live in. Yeah, there might be a few African countries or black countries that happen to have non-blacks living in them, but they account for a small percentage of the population, and nobody is trying to demographically shift the population. By the way, and that might be another podcast, but demographic shift is just a nickname, a code word, a phrase that means changing a population from one thing to another. That's what demographic shift means. And if you're reducing a group to a minority where it used to be a majority, that counts as what? Genocide. That in whole or in part. Let's not forget the or in part. You reduce a group to a minority in any particular area, demographic shift would certainly be what the anti-whites like to describe it as whenever it's happening to whites. But really, whenever they say demographic shift towards whites becoming a minority as a shrinking percentage of a population, that is genocide in progress. That's what that is. So that was some pondering out loud about the question being asked. What matters more? Back to that. The fact we're all human, or the color of somebody's skin. And as far as something mattering, it has to pertain to a certain situation. It's like, does it matter if you're thirsty or not? Well, are you dehydrated? Did you just eat something a little bit salty? You know, something mattering pertains to the situation. If a race is facing genocide, if they're being assimilated out of existence, if they are being reduced to minorities in their ancestral countries, then suddenly skin color is going to matter to these people more so when it comes to what they're going to be doing with any of this than just having empathy for everybody. You know, if you have empathy for everybody and you don't look out for your own people, well, those other people might not have empathy for you because they might be putting their own race first and foremost. And that is what we have seen. And I don't have any problem with that, honestly. If a black guy is going to have loyalty to black people before he would have loyalty to Beefcake, well, that is something that I can understand. Okay, it's another black person he's going to support before he's going to support me. He's thinking racially. He's thinking about the color of his skin. But at the same time, it doesn't mean he lacks all empathy for me as a human being. Not necessarily. It just means that if he has to categorize things, he's going, and the reality is there is no way to completely ignore this. You can say you're ignoring it and you're colorblind. Well, what have we seen from everybody who claims they're colorblind? You know, they know what race is. You know, you can't have affirmative action and beneficial hiring privileges, and you cannot have white guilting and white shaming. You cannot constantly be saying who was the bad guys who did this and who was the bad guys to do that if you're truly colorblind. Colorblindness really is only something that's promoted for whites to have no loyalty towards whites. That's it. That's all this, it's so wonderful and morally superior to be colorblind talk is. It's only directed at whites, and it's only ever intending to be programming to tell whites that they should have no loyalty towards their own people. Very simple. Colorblindness as a moral virtue is simply saying that loyalty to one's own people is bad. I don't think that's bad. I think that all groups of people should primarily have loyalty first and foremost to their own people. Look out for their own people. Look out for the interest of their own people. And that is how you create a cohesive society. That's how you have a civilization. Everyone looking out for each other's mutual interest. But when you turn something into a multiracial crazy land where every group is competing, and you try, saying things like this doesn't matter, that doesn't matter. You're really just creating an artificial religion that, well, I mean, you suppose some people say all religions are artificial. Let's not get into that. All I'm pointing out is that there is a religion that's your political correctness, which is speech control to keep anyone from talking about the real problems. That's all it's intended to do. It's a religion that is based around a series of concepts, like all religions are, and it has its own versions of heresy, and it prevents people from being able to talk about a situation that's creating chaos. They say that, and they'll have certain words they repeat. That's your wordism. Diversity is our strength. All that, but of course, that's only applied to countries where white people live. So clearly, they do see race. It's impossible to get past race. And when someone says skin color, again, they're trying to slyly imply all race is a skin color. Well, go look up pictures of albino black people, and they don't look just like white people. They don't. And I'm sure anyone black who would hear me say that probably agrees that albino black people do not look like white people. And we're only trying to use the word black because, or white or Asian, just, or, because we're just giving descriptions of a group of people that could be better defined as race. And of course, why do we say Asian instead of yellow? Well, depending on certain people's cultures, and you could use yellow, I suppose. I guess there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that some people may be offended due to some cultures, yellow is seen as a cowardly color. Maybe because it's the color of urine, and urine is what animals do, or people sometimes do, if they are afraid enough. And so I'm not sure. That's my assumption as to where yellow got called the color of cowardice. I don't really know, but that's not the main point I'm here to discuss. The main point is race is way more than just skin color, but that's another one of those things anti-whites will imply. And of course, they want you to get drawn into that big thing and to start going on like I've gone on here and talk about how, the difference between racial groups and stuff like that. Because when you start getting into all those details, that's owned by the devil. Devil owns the details there. When you start getting into discussing whether race is just skin color or not to answer the anti-white, it's better just to point out in practice that they would not be asking these questions to a black man if all black countries were being mass immigrated, were being force integrated, were being assimilated out of existence, while black people were being vilified for their own history, while they were being degraded in TV shows and media, while their people were having the idea that interracial relationships was a desirable thing promoted to them, while anyone who would dare disagree would be further vilified. These are conditions that would destroy black people as a race. And if any black man were to stand up about and talk about this, if this was being done to black people, they would, I guarantee you the person asking the question to anyone white would not ask the question to somebody black in the same situation. And at the same time, they're trying to imply that you're not colorblind enough. Even though you're well aware that they are not colorblind, they clearly see race. All anti-whites see race. They pretend they don't, just because they're trying to promote the idea that loyalty to white people is a bad thing. That's all they're doing. But the reality is they're not going to ask these ridiculous philosophical questions to any other racial group who's concerned about the future of their own people when they're facing genocide. That would be absolutely ridiculous. But yet they feel that it's important to ask me that, we should just be like, oh, well, you know what? Yeah, seeing other humans is great, so I should just not care if my particular race is erased from our planet because we're all human, so I should just be okay with my particular unique people that have existed for thousands of years being erased from the planet because anything else. If anything else would be a lack of basic human empathy. In order to show my empathy towards all humans, I should just sit down and shut up and let my people be erased from our planet. Let there be a world where my people no longer exist because it was so important to me to show how good I was, to show empathy to everyone else in the world, because, it's lacking all empathy to want the preservation of your own unique people and to want unique peoples to be able to have their own nations in order to preserve their people. That lacks empathy for the other groups. If Sweden happened to be a, to have a complete 180 and become a homeland for people of Swedish descent, And that would definitely count as white, but specifically Swedish white. And to maintain their, because it goes more than just race, then it's also their culture and their language and their history and everything like that. But if this were done and Sweden were able to maintain theirs as their specific identity, and you know, that if they were to do this, that would mean clearly that they don't support the right of any other person to do this, and that they would lack all empathy for anybody else as human. See how ridiculous that sounds? You know, you can preserve the uniqueness of your own people. You can have your own nations. You can have your own countries. You can have whatever it is that your specific people need and desire. You can advocate for. You can speak up about without having to. Without having to deny the humanity of another human group. Now some people who are pro-white that are frustrated with living with people they're being forced to live with, that frustration and conflict that's created by being forced to live with the people that are not your own can cause you to not see those other people as human, but that's really sort of looking through the looking glass of being very, very frustrated with the situation. You know, I know where I live, there are a lot of white people that really cannot stand Somalians. They are so sick of Somalians that they have nothing good to say about them. It's unfortunate that they're not seeing that this is a problem that white people are having in all places of the world white people live. That's why I pointed out. And whenever I hear one of them talk about how upset they are with Somalians, that is always fertile ground for beefcake to go into the white genocide mantra. And I do it in conversation with people that I know and people that I meet all the time. And where I live, there's always more people to meet who are white who will complain about the Somalians. And that I segue right into it. You know, it's interesting. Nobody's flooding Somalia with non-Somalians and trying to create a blended humanity there. Nobody's flooding Somalia with white people or Asian people and trying to create some sort of a demographic shift to make things more diverse there. They're only doing that where white people live. And then they say if anyone white points it out, they're an evil racist Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. You know, and of course, people normally in person, they laugh. You know, they don't tend to be as rotten as they are on message boards. When they feel the safety of message boards, anti-whites come out of the woodworks. Most of this stuff works a lot better in person. And now I have, I will caution people there, I have gotten some conflict in person. It has happened. But for the most part, most white people that you talk about this in person, it's much, I mean, it is effectively designed to be used on the internet. Absolutely. But in person and in-person conversations where you're sitting down with somebody having a cup of coffee, tea, or Gatorade, whatever, that it tends to be something that goes on much better in private conversation. And that's why I encourage people, if you don't have the gift of gab, if you don't have the ability to talk, practice. Practice a little bit, you know, just get used to saying some basic things. If it really is beyond your skill set, just post it on the internet. Anything helps. But I will say that for the most part, my experience is talking about the mantra with people in person has been it has been getting better and better. And it is especially getting better and better as these people are getting more fed up with the situation. Back to what I was saying, because I kind of segued away from it. Sometimes the people that are forced to live with another group will lack empathy for the people they've been forced to live with. And that's interesting because by forcing different groups of humans to live together, you create chaos because they have different values. Whether those values are inherited genetic values or just cultural and language, it doesn't matter. They are unique peoples, and when you put them together and you try blending them up, it creates a lot of conflict. And the great irony there is that doesn't increase empathy for each other. That decreases empathy to the point where they have trouble seeing each other as human at all. Because they hate each other. That hatred is brought on by the frustration of being forced to live together. So it's the great irony in the name of being anti-hate, which is really just anti-white, because they only ever call anyone white hateful if they're frustrated with living with a group that isn't white. If someone who's non-white hates whites, that's not hate, you know. But regardless, let's back to my main point here. I mean, it's always anti-white what they say, but let's humor me for an instant. In the name of anti-hate, these so-called multiculturalists decide to create a world where there is a bunch of conflict among people they've forced to live together. that they've denied unique homelands too, and that ultimately leads to far more hate. Where if these people lived in separate environments and might occasionally visit another group, you can travel and stuff like that. You know, they go and you know, say you get white people, they want to go like hang out with like an African tribe for like a couple of weeks and carry giant pots of water on their head and stuff like that, and then come back and you know appreciate the white area they were living in so much more or whatever, or just it was good to get you know out of the high tech environment and live in a low tech one for a short amount of time. That's all fine and dandy so long as you're not exchanging blood with these people. You're not, you know, you're not interbreeding with them or anything like that. You're not marrying one. You're not doing anything that would contaminate either group. You know, you're not changing either group really. You're learning a little bit from each other, but then you go back home. Okay, people that do experiences like this that might just visit another group might learn something about them. And you know what? You can't learn something different about another group of people if you can't even acknowledge they're another group of people. You know? So let's say that they just visit some other place, learn a little bit about them, but then they can go back to their own home. I guarantee you they will have far more empathy for them. The basis of human empathy does not necessarily mean you need this blending scheme. You don't need this blending scheme to have empathy for other races of humans. In fact, the blending scheme, if anything, creates chaos, which results in more hatred. That's the great irony of it. And this is, on a smaller scale, an example of this would be when somebody stays at somebody else's house and you have like a house guest over. We've all had a house guest that will not leave. Or just hangs around for a few hours longer than you want them to, they can become quite intolerable very quickly. You know, that is because they, you know, but of course, once they go back to their own space, you know, after several days, this obnoxious friend of yours, you even start missing them a little bit. You know, you care about them, but I guarantee you, if you live together in the same house, you might both hate each other after a while. There are some interesting, you know, interpersonal dynamics that work that way, where you just cannot be around somebody all the time and still get along. But that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, once in a while be around each other and get along. And I'm not saying that, you know, it would be a great situation. Let's not turn this into a straw man. Let's be intelligent about this. Beefcake's not saying we need to have like a constant visiting schedule or something like that between, you know, whites and non-white groups if we have our own nations. My point is that the occasional contact between groups is not going to destroy the groups, and it's not going to lead to hatred among the groups, but constant contact amongst another group is going to lead to a lot of frustration and a lot of anger. And it's because they have different values. Ultimately, regardless of if what brings it on, whether it is genetic, whether it's cultural, whatever, I don't care what the difference is being caused by, but those differences are there. And they mean that when these people are forced to live together, they're not going to get along. And that ultimately results in less human empathy. So the fact that we're all human, how is that relevant? If you're creating a situation that leads to conflict between those humans, if you really care about those humans, you would want all of those human groups to have their own homes so that they can have the cohesive communities that are good for the raising of their children and their families. And that wouldn't breed hatred for other people they would get quickly frustrated with. Right now, the only group of people facing this universally in all of the countries that they live in are white people. My people are facing this everywhere. Yes, there are some other racial groups that have to deal with it, but when it's happening to the all of and only, that's together, only all white countries are facing this, okay? And that is, my people are having this forced on us everywhere. And so, of course, anytime anyone speaks up about it, the first thing anti-whites want to say is that you're full of hate. Can't get into that thinking out loud that I just did, into that whole long tirade, but it is best in practice just to go back to pointing out, you know, nobody is creating an assimilation scheme that would blend black people out of existence and asking this of them and accusing them of these things from speaking up about it. They're only doing this to whites. You know, flip the script. It's the quickest, most concise way to deal with it. But you know, when we're in a setting where we can actually have a discussion, you know, anybody listening to me right now isn't going to ultimately jump out and say, "Oh, that's racist or that's hate." You know, we're since there's no one here is doing that, we can actually have a real discussion and actually think about these things a little bit. So, just food for thought. At the end of the day, what matters as far as what we're doing, just keep talking about white genocide, and don't ever forget to call it genocide. And that's all I got.